Amen. Except for a heart singing hallelujah. My favorite part is, so come on my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song because you've got a lion inside of you. Amen. I was doing something yesterday, thinking, meditating, and the thought came to me, he's a dandelion. Jesus is a dandelion. Now we talked, you know how I love dandelions, right? Dandelions are just like indestructible, and they have seed that will grow in blacktop. You know, you'll see a dandelion pushing right up through blacktop in the parking lot, right? I mean, those things have potential. And no matter how hard you fight them, they always come back. I was at school one day, and there was a dandelion that had the yellow flower, and then there was one that was the puffball, and then there was one that just had a few seeds left on it. And I felt like the Lord said to me, watch the one with the few seeds. That's the dangerous one. Because that's the one who's already spread the seeds, and they're already in action. Amen? But he's not a dandelion in that sense. He's a dandy lion. Because he's the lion from the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. And that song says, come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. You've got a lion inside of those lungs. How many feel like you've got a lion inside of you? Yeah. 3, 4, 5, 6. Got a lion inside of those lungs. Sometimes it seems a little more like a kitten, right? I posted one the other day, and it had a picture of a lion. It was a lion said, you know, we have a lion in us, and it's the lion laying there with its tongue hanging out asleep. And I said, some days the lion just needs a nap, right? But how many know he is the lion of the tribe of Judah? And he has prevailed. It's not just that he will prevail, but he has prevailed. Hallelujah. I want to share some things this morning. I'm a little bit all over the place because I was going to jump in another area, and I feel to back up a little bit. And I want to start a series called Planted. We did a series not too long ago called Roots, where we shared some things about roots and having our roots planted and the strength of our roots and how that roots are what help us to weather storms, and it's where we feed from, it's where we get our moisture from, it's where we draw the nutrients that will produce the fruit or the nuts or the leaves or whatever it is. How many know roots are important? Yeah. You got to have roots in the natural. You got to have roots in the spirit that we are firmly rooted and grounded in Him, grounded in love. How many know before you have roots, you have to plant something, yeah. Right? There's got to first be seed planted before you can get some roots. And I felt like the Lord said to me not long ago, we've been plowing up and digging up a lot of ground, but he said it's time to plant seed. And I believe that in a lot of ways. And so I went to my flower beds and I started digging out some roots, right? So we were doing some yard work this week, and I had a lot of weeds that just kind of got ahead of me. And so it was like, okay, Lisa, it's time to pull out some things that don't need to belong, that don't belong there, because they're crowding out my flowers, okay? I am not the world's best landscaper, and if you ever want to practice on landscaping and flower beds and want to come to my house, you are welcome to come, okay? So anyway, but I've got this tool off of Amazon. It looks like this little claw. And I was out in them, and we have a brick patio, and I'm at brick patio, and I'm hooking those weeds and pulling them weeds out of there. And for some parts, when it was in loose ground, it was coming out pretty good. I was like, yeah. But when you get that root down into the cracks of those bricks, you can get the weed part, but it's the root that I can't get out of there, which means I'm going to have to do that again. It's coming back, right? I mean, weeds, I don't know what it is about weeds, but they got tenacity. Yeah. right? They will grow anywhere. You get them fragile, petite little roses and, you know, those kind of things, and you got to baby them all summer, right? That's why I say I like dandelions. Nobody babies a dandelion, but man, they do their thing. But I want to talk this morning about being planted. I mean, you know, we are seed that is planted. There's also seed that's planted in us. So there's a lot of ways that we can talk about seed and we can understand the seed of God. How many know Jesus said that except a corn of wheat or kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it will bring forth much fruit. How many of you understand that Jesus is the seed that was planted in the earth? The worst thing you can do with the seed if you want to get rid of it is to bury it, right? If you bury it, you've set it up for growth, for exactly what it needs. How many know what they did with Jesus is they took a seed and they buried it into the ground. And if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Hello, fruit. Yeah. I didn't say you were fruity. I said, hello, fruit. How many know in the kingdom of God there are fruits and nuts? Yeah. Right? And we all know a few. Everybody say amen. And so he is the seed. It's the seed of God that's planted in our heart. What's the purpose of the seed of God? It is to take root and to grow up out of its place and to produce fruit. Yeah. And in producing fruit, what happens? It produces more seed. That's the purpose of the seed. You can count the acorns on the tree, but you can't count the trees in the acorn. Right? The power of a seed. And so I want to talk to you a little bit today about being planted. I'm going to read a few scriptures, and some of it I'm just going to need to share, and I may be all over the place, and I've already apologized to the media group back there for being all over the place today. So if they're not with me, it's my fault, not theirs. But Genesis 8 and 22 says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. How many know that was spoken to Noah in the beginning in the book of Genesis? God put some things into place in the natural and in the spirit. How many know the things of the Old Testament are pointing to the things of the New Covenant? They're always pointing to something even greater than what we see in the natural. How many know God instituted some things? How many are thankful for seed time and harvest? And cold and hot, and summer and winter, and day and night, they shall not cease. Amen? If it weren't for night, there would not be a season of rest, right? We need the day and the night. We need the cold and the hot. We need the alternating of each of those, the seed time and the harvest. I said before, so many times we want to reap a harvest, but we lacked sowing the seed. And I'm not just talking about money this morning. I'm not just talking about your acts. I'm talking about in every area of your life. How many know we have opportunity to sow seed? And I love to sow seed. And I love to sow seed in places that seems like it's a solitary place and watch what God will do with it. Amen? You throw those pumpkin seeds, those watermelon seeds out over the bank sometimes, and before you know it, what happens? You got a watermelon vine or a pumpkin vine growing that you didn't even plant. That's how I think about sowing seed in the kingdom. I want to scatter in places that I'm not even looking for the return, only to go back in a few years and find out, God, you took some good seed, and you brought increase in a place that I thought was a desolate place. Amen? Never fail to throw some seed in a season that seems like drought. Amen? Sometimes it seems like the worst thing to do in drought is to sow seed. Sometimes it seems like the worst time to give is when you don't have. But I mean, sometimes, not sometimes, but God will always take what you present to him, just like the boy with five loaves and two fishes. How many know he brought seed to Jesus, five loaves and two fishes, and the disciples but said, that's nothing among this multitude. But when we give it to God, and he takes what we give to him, and he blesses it, and he breaks it, and he begins to distribute it and multiply it. How many know the seed becomes much in the hand of the master, in the hand of the Messiah? Don't you limit what God can do with your five loaves and two fishes. Don't you limit what he can do with your seed. Amen? Hallelujah. We can be hungry for a tomato and go out to the garden and get one, but if you didn't plant any tomatoes, there's not going to be any there. In which case, you got to go to the neighbor's house and get their tomatoes. And so I'm reaping what they sowed. We had some fried green tomatoes the other night for supper. And let me just say, thank you, Jesus. Amen? I don't need a steak. Give me some fried green tomatoes and we're good to go, right? But how many know somebody has got to sow some seed to make that happen. And we become recipients, and we become blessed many times because somebody else stood in a place that he that went forth bearing precious seed will doubtless come again reaping, bringing the sheaves with them. I mean, no, there's many times you go forth in weeping, throwing out seeds and thinking, I'm throwing seeds in a drought and I don't see where this is going to produce anything. And God says, when you go forth bearing precious seed, you will doubtless, somebody say doubtless this morning, you will doubtless come again bringing the sheaves with you. The power of a seed. How many know we sow seeds into our kids every day? Every day. Good or bad? I don't want to get there yet. We're going to get there eventually. But when you start looking at the parables, and he talks about the parable of the wheat and the tares, and where the enemy came to sow tares. One of the worst things you can do to your enemy in that culture was to sow bad seed in a good field. Because it would take them years to root back up everything that you put in there. And that's why Jesus says, let it alone. And there's a whole bigger picture. He said, but let it alone. And at the time of harvest, we'll do the separating. Why? Because you will tear up the good seed in trying to pull out the bad seed. When what you need to do is water and fertilize the good seed, and it will outgrow that which is bad. One of the worst things you could do in our families, if you were an enemy of the family, is to sow bad seed into good ground. Y'all are real quiet. How many know the words that you speak are seeds scattered out? And you can plant a good seed. You can plant seeds of doubt. You can plant seeds of fear. You can plant seeds of unworth. You can plant seeds of insecurity. You can plant seeds of all kinds of stuff with the power of your mouth. I mean, no, that's what the dragon's mouth does. And the dragon's mouth, a lot of time, is not this great dragon out of the book of Revelation. It's any mouth that it proceeds out negativity that is contrary to what the Word of God says. Come on, we listen to a whole lot of stuff. I made several stops yesterday, and I run into spirit-filled, born-again people who are scared to death, and just the conversation of their mouth is, whoa, whoa, whoa. I mean, no, that's what the dragon's mouth says, is whoa, whoa, whoa. But when I begin to hear people crying out how bad things is and fear and doubt, I start crying, holy, holy, holy. I start saying, but I serve a great big God, and my God is in control, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. Hallelujah. because my words have power and the seed of our mouth has power. How many know in relationship you can sow seeds that are good seed or bad seed? You can build up or you can tear down. And let me just tell you, it will take much longer to replant seeds that have been torn down than it will those to fertilize and water the ones that are good. How many know it's a good thing every now and then to say, you're a good man. You're a good woman. Thank you. I honor you. I appreciate you. Thank you. My husband celebrated his birthday today. We've been together 42 years. Forever, he said. A long time. And I signed his birthday card. I said, I love you real big. But I also said, you are one of the hardest working men I know. And we sometimes don't stop and say, you don't have to buy me a diamond. Your heart of serving and building and working is appreciated. Y'all get real quiet again. I'm just going to be real with you. Because our words have power. And I don't know about you, I can still remember things that were said to me in my life that still ring in my ears that were negative. Amen. Yeah. That causes that insecurity or causes that doubt or causes things to be implanted in us. And how many know those roots sometimes are hard to get out of there? But when we, as born-again believers, began to sow seed of the kingdom. Yeah. Jesus even likened it. He said, it's like unto leaven that someone hid in a measure of meal. I don't know about you, but you can take a little bit of yeast and hide it in some flour and some oil and some water, and before you know it, that thing expands, and we call it homemade bread. Amen? Yeah. That's what the seed of the kingdom will do. The expanse of the kingdom. I said a couple weeks ago about when Philip attached himself to the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, Philip, just go attach yourself to his chariot. And they begin to talk. Who's he talking about here, himself or another? And he began to read the scrolls of Isaiah, and Philip began to share with him the gospel. How many know sometimes you need to attach yourself to somebody's chariot, or you need to pull up with a cup of coffee, or you need to stop at a yard sale and talk with somebody, or do something in your daily, everyday life. We sow seeds of the kingdom. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so, the power of the seed and the power of our words and the word that comes forth even in our worship and in our word, our time of preaching the word. How many know those things are powerful? They're important. They're weighty. You can tell a kid all you want to, you need to straighten up, but until you show them how to, they're not going to do it. And they will reproduce what has been planted in them and what they see. Yep. Amen? So it says, go ahead, Colossians 2 and 7 says that we are rooted and built up and established. The word established in the ESV version means planted. Rooted, built up in him, and planted in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. How many know we have been established or planted in the faith? Yeah. Go ahead and bring up Colossians 2. That was Colossians, I'm sorry. Bring up 2 Corinthians. That's in the King James Version. It says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. In the ESV version, it says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Yeah. I mean, the scripture says that God loveth a cheerful giver. Another word for that is hilarious. He likes a hilarious giver. To be rooted, grounded, to sow sparingly is to reap sparingly. And we know that in a lot of different ways. If I don't plant seed, I'm not going to get anything back out of that seed, right? And there are enemies of the seed that I plant. And they have four legs, and they are brown, and they have horns on their heads, some of them, and they have eaten every hosta I have along the wall. They've eaten my lilies. They've nipped and pruned my rose bushes. Amen? It's not that I did not plant the seed. It's that I didn't guard it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't guard it. They were so cute the other day in my yard. There was a buck standing there. There's two little babies. Another little mama. I said, yeah, y'all looking out there so cute. Y'all are the one that ate all my hostas, all my daylilies, all my flowers. But come fall, there's going to be a harvest. Right? It's called brisket. Tacos. Right? Seed time. Harvest. Seed time, harvest. Now, how many know you got to guard the seed that's been planted? And I'm very careful who I let sow seeds in my mind. There's times we turn off the TV because I don't want to hear it. There's time I walk away from conversations because I don't want to hear it. There's times that I change the channel because it's not one I want to put in my good ground. You understand what I'm saying? You need to till up the ground, and you need to be careful the seeds that are planted there and what you fertilize and what you take care of and what you let the enemy sow into your head. I want to tell you this morning that I rebuke every voice of an enemy that ever has ever told you anything, that you are anything less than salt, light, a city set on a hill. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the inheritance. You are the heirs and joint heirs with Him. You are born and raised up for such a time as this. You are a world changer. You are anointed and you are appointed. And if you believe anything other than that, it's the enemy sowing tares into your mind. Amen? Hallelujah. So I was going to quickly go to this scripture this morning, but I want to break it down just a little bit more. And I know that Lynn has shared some things on this before, and so if you have input, help yourself. But I want to go to Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 11. It's a very popular scripture that we hear in the time of, you know, we hear it a lot of times at funerals. We hear it in life in general. We hear it in songs, and you'll recognize it here in a minute. It's out of Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 11, and it says, to everything there is a season and a time. Now, I want to stop right there for a minute, because we say everything is a season, and I don't believe that our lives as born-again believers needs to be dictated by seasons. I don't feel like we have to go through seasons. But how many know there are times of growth and dormancy and seed time and harvest in our life? Can everybody say amen? Season means there is an appointed time, right? There is an appointed time. There is a time called, there is a season called summer. There is a season called winter. There is a season called fall. which I'm very much looking forward to. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There is a season called, how many of those are seasons? And I love living in an area where I experience four seasons. I love spring. I like summer. I love fall. I love winter. Amen? I'm not as big on summer. It's hot. It's humid. There's bugs. And I'm very pale face. So it's not my season, right? But fall, I like, because I like wearing sweaters and hoodies. And winter, I love, because I love snow. Y'all can rebuke that. I'm not trying to sow seeds in your, I'm not trying to be an enemy sowing seeds into your mind. But I love seasons. But seasons means an appointed time. But times means a time frame of events. So there are seasons and times, okay? So I want you to kind of distinguish that a little bit. There are seasons and times. In other words, it is football time. It's not football season. You understand what I'm saying? Football is not a season. It's a time. It's an event. It might be baseball time. It might be vacation time. But how many know vacation is not a season? Spring, summer, winter, fall, those are seasons. So season means an appointed time, and times, and time means a frame of events. Okay? With that in mind, let's go back. To everything, there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. I want you to notice that Solomon, one of the wisest men of all, is talking about what happens under the heaven. Okay? When Jesus comes along, he's going to tell you what everything happens above. Remember, above the line and below the line? He says there's a time and a purpose for everything under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profiteth he that worketh and wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work of God that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Now, Song of Solomon, one of the wisest men of all, tells us there's time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, a time to sow, a time to rend, a time to sow in another, in a different context. How many know it doesn't take a whole lot of wisdom to understand that, right? We know that. There's a time to be born. There's an appointed time, right? Let's look at it like this, like there's an appointed time. And, you know, another thing that I think is a seed that gets sowed sometimes is I refuse to confess over myself that I'm old or I'm weak or I'm frail. And we sometimes say, man, I'm getting old, or this getting old stuff. I thank God every day I'm getting old. Amen. Anybody with me? Yes. Because the alternative to that is not good. I'll take every day I can get, every moment that I can get. So do I want to get old? Yes, I do. I haven't decided what old is yet, because old keeps changing the more birthdays I have. Does that make sense to anybody? What I thought was old wasn't old at all when I got there. And so I'm not sure what old is, But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to confess like Caleb, that's my mountain. And I'm still well able to possess what God has promised me. And so I believe there's a mindset where we begin to say, Barcelia said, no, I'm getting old. I can't see. I can't hear. I can't dance. I can't do anything anymore. I'm just going to stay here because I'm too old. And Jacob said, and Caleb said, oh, no, I will go in and possess my land. Again, sometimes it's our mind that limits us to the bounty and the goodness of what God wants to do. Amen. So, the time for everything above, how many know, a time for everything under heaven was an old covenant mindset. A time for everything above or in the heavens is a new covenant mindset. I mean, no, Solomon in his wisdom was not just talking about being born and dying. He was talking about something else, and he's referring to the one who would come and fulfill, I believe, what he's saying in this. So let me give you a quick rundown of what this is. How many know Jesus is the seed, right? Amen. And without going to the scripture this morning, the scripture tells us that in John, in the beginning was the what? Word, and the Word was God, and it was with God. That same word. So let's say that Jesus is the Word. Can we all agree on that? Jesus is the Word. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, he abideth alone. But if he die, so we know he is the seed. The seed is the Word. So when we come along and we see the parable of the sower, it says the sower goes forth and he sows a seed. And he goes on, Jesus goes on to explain to him, the seed is the, what? Word. He said, the seed is the word of the, one says word of the kingdom, one says word, one says the word of God. So we know that Jesus is the word. The parable of sower says that the seed is sown into ground, and he is the word. Are you tracking with me? So Jesus is the seed that is sown in every ground in the parable of the sower. We can look at it like that. Now, there's lots of different ways to look at the parable. Jesus was sown into the beaten path, the path that many took, the path that was trampled down. He was also sown into thorny ground, which speaks of the curse. He was also sown into stony ground, which speaks of the law. He was also sown into the good ground. I don't want to preach that this morning, but I want you to understand that Jesus is the seed. He's the word, right? So when we look at this, there's a time to be born and a time to die. How many know Jesus had an appointed time to be born and he had a time to die? There was a time to plant and a time to pluck up. It says the axe was laid to the fruit of the tree. I mean, Jesus came to plant, but he also came to pluck up some things. He came to cut down. I mean, he cut down the fig tree because it was not producing anything. It was time to pluck up, but it was time to plant. There was a time to kill and a time to heal. I mean, Jesus comes along and says, the thief comes not but to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came that you might have life. Time to break down and a time to build up. How many know Jesus told them in the time of the temple, tear down this temple, a time to tear down and a time to build up. He said, tear down this temple and I will what? Build it back again in 3 days. He's not talking about a natural temple. He's talking about the temple of his body. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. How many know he speaks to the woman who comes to the tomb and he said, woman, why weepest thou? He comes to Mary Magdalene at the tomb and he said, woman, why are you weeping? She said, because they have taken away my Lord and I don't know where to find him. And Jesus simply said to her, Rabboni. I mean, Jesus said to her, Mary. And when he spoke her name, She said, Rabboni, that is my master. How many know there was a time to weep, but there was a time of rejoicing because he said, go back to my disciples and tell them what you have seen. How many know she came there weeping, but she left there rejoicing for what God had done. There was a time to weep and a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. How many know Jesus wept over Lazarus at the tomb of Mary and Martha? They said, Lord, if you had just been here, my brother would not have died. He said, Mary and Martha, don't you understand that I am resurrection life? Yeah. And they said, we believe in the resurrection yet to come. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. How many know there was a time for mourning, but there was a time for rejoicing when he steps up to the tomb and says, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. There's a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones. How many know Jesus comes along and he is in the multitude and they said, this woman was found in adultery and the law says we should what? Stone her. What sayest thou? Jesus didn't respond. He sits down and he begins to write in the dust. The same dust that he and his father in the beginning breathed into, and they became life and spirit. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. How many know he cast away the stones that they wanted to stone, but he also goes and gets some stones called Peter, Petros, because upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Time to cast away stones, time to gather stones, time to embrace, stop from embracing. How many know we embraced an old covenant mindset? But under the new covenant, we cast away some of those things. We're governed by a new covenant. We're governed by the Holy Spirit. It's time to rend and time to sow. He said, I will give you. He said, rend your hearts and not your garments. And in Hebrews it says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them on their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. There's a time to keep silence. Jesus said that it comes riding into the city on the donkey. And the people begin to go, the crowd goes wild, and they begin to cry, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And those who are in the courts there and those who are in authority come back and say, you need to silence these ones. They need to be silent. And Jesus responds back, but if you silence them, the very rocks will raise up and begin to worship me. There's a whole nother thought line on that. But how many know there's a time to be silent, but there's a time to use your voice. Hallelujah. There's a time, he said, if you silence them, these rocks, the rocks of the patriarchs, will go on from there. Time to love and a time to hate. He said, he that loves his life shall lose it under the old covenant life. But if you hate that old covenant way and the traditions of men and what was happening in that context, you will get your life. You will get your life back. You will win your life. Time for war and a time for peace. How many of Jesus spoke of the coming of the destruction of the temple, the tabernacle, and the dismantling of that system that would come? But then he goes on over and says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Hallelujah. I mean, no, there is a time and a season in God. And you know, we were sharing some things the other night. We were talking about even the gifts of the Spirit and some things like that. How many know sometimes you can have a word out of season, or you can have a word, but it's not time. When we were at church camp this year, my heart was really drawn to a particular person. I just had her on my heart the whole time, and I was like, I'm going to get to them. I'm going to connect with them. I'm going to minister to them for the weeks out. And we were standing in service one night. I was standing about here. I was praying. I was like, okay, I'm going to go minister to them. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, not yet. I said, okay. Seemed like a good idea to me, but so I stood there. And the service went on for a while. And then Daniel Heron came up and he began to say some things. And he plowed up some ground and he planted some seed. And the spirit started to change and the hearts began to change. And God said, now. Now is the time to go. And when I went, I saw the breaking. And I saw God touch the heart and I saw tears go. But how many know until the heart and the ground is prepared, sometimes it's a good word, but it falls on deaf ears. Or it falls on hard hearts, or it falls on the ground. When I tell you that God wants to stir up our hearts and plant seeds, it's because you might be the person just stirring up. But somebody else is going to come along with a seed and plant a seed. And somebody else is going to come along with a water and begin to water what you have. And before you know it, God gives increase. Do not ever think that the word or the seed or the action that God speaks to you is insignificant. It might not be the whole picture, but it may definitely be a part of what God wants to put in action. And you cannot get a harvest until you plant a seed. Yeah. Amen? And so I want to encourage you to think about in being planted. Is the seed of God planted in your heart? We know that it is. We know Jesus is the seed that's planted in our heart. And because of that, are we planting seeds of faith and hope and confidence? Because I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of seeds being planted right now that the enemy is sowing tares in the field of our minds. Hallelujah. The best way to beat out bad seed is to grow a good crop. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you got to turn it over and work it back into the ground and allow the good seed of God to do what it will do? How many know seeds have power? Yeah. Seeds have power. I talked about that brick patio I have. There's no dirt between those bricks, hardly at all. But all it takes is a small space for a seed to get started and it begins to grow. What if that seed is the seed of the kingdom that begins to bring increase in everywhere that you go? And we start sowing seeds of confidence. And we start sowing seeds of hope. And we start sowing seeds of character and morals. And how do we change? How do we change things? You sow good seed. Amen? Hallelujah. And so there is a time and a season. But if we understand that Jesus has conquered that and appointed those things, we will understand that he makes everything beautiful in his time. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is what? Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. How many know we are the New Jerusalem? We are the Mount Zion, and he makes everything beautiful in his time. Don't look beautiful yet? Then he's not done. If it's not good, he's not done. If it's not beautiful, he's not done. You sang it this morning. Did you believe it when you sang it? He will complete those things that he has begun in you. The words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart. What we speak and what we think has power. Find somebody to pour some good seed into today. Amen? Amen? Because what you'll do is pull out of them something they didn't even know was in there. How many of you can think of one person in your life that spoke good things over you that you didn't even believe yourself? Come on. That you didn't even believe it yourself. You didn't see it. And I've had people speak negative things over me, and I still remember those things. The best thing I can do is root those things out, because I realize that's not the truth. That's not who I am. He has made all things beautiful in His time. You are a masterpiece. You are a work in progress. You are a tree planted by living water. Blessed is the man, Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man whose roots go down, that's planted, and his roots go down deep. Hallelujah. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. How many of you want to flourish in your life? Not just get by. Come on. I had one person say they want to flourish. How many of you want to flourish in your life? Hallelujah. That you are ready for God to do an abundance in your life. Hallelujah. And a harvest comes from seed being planted. Amen. Stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just lift our hands and bless Him for a moment. Hallelujah. Father, we just so thank You. We thank You for what You're doing in us, God. We thank You for the seed that's been planted, the fruit that is being produced. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You for the confidence and the care of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And Father, if there's one here today, Lord, that has had seeds of negativity, of doubt, that's dealing with doubt and fear and unbelief and discouragement and grief, Lord, and sorrow, God, I speak to that ground, Lord, to produce healing and hope and strength. We stand against every negative voice that's ever been spoken over Your children, God, and declare that we are the children of God. Hallelujah, that we are anointed, appointed, called, purposed, destined, chosen for such a time as this. And I thank You, God, for the seed that You planted that is bringing forth much fruit, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name.